I'm going to grab my crew and hunt you all down. I will not stop until every pirate on the ship is dead.
We're all trembling with fear.
You should be. I've some of the best trackers in the world aboard my vessel. My heart warms with pride to think of Zima.
Are they fiery redheads as well?
No.
Shame. Now let's go. You don't want to be late.
Late for what? Raiden leads me outside. Nola is now far in the distance, a mere speck on the horizon. I wonder what our next destination could be. The men are everywhere, scrubbing and mopping at the deck. Moving cargo around, seeing to the sails. Drexen stands near the helm, overseeing the navigation. He has his hands at his belt, feet spread apart, ever-present sneer on his face. He looks down.
Ah, princess, how are you enjoying your stay?
I'm tempted to spit on the deck, but I don't spit. That's disgusting. Just fine, Captain. But I'm more excited about what will come after my stay.
Yes, I'm sure we'll hear plenty more death threats from you today. For now, get to your duties.
Duties? I ask, looking between him and Raiden.
You'll be assisting the crew with swabbing the deck,
Raiden explains. Ha! I think not.
You've proven you can't be left alone, for various reasons.
I can tell his mind drifts to his ransacked room.
Then I'll not have you being a nuisance, following me about. You'll make yourself useful.
And just how do you intend to make me?
Lyreman?
Aye, Master Raiden,
a voice calls from a ways off.
Bring me a rope and hook.
Yes, sir,
the voice answers with merriment. I know exactly what that means, but the prospect doesn't trouble me. Such hooks can be hung down from many places on the ship's masts, and they attach nicely to the chains stringing together manacles. After a while, a hook is lowered from up above. Raiden places it through one of the middle chains on the shackles I wear. He hesitates a moment, as if he's waiting for me to give in, to agree to the work so he can take the hook away. But I say nothing. I even glance away from him, as though I couldn't be bothered to look at him.
"Hoist her away,"
Raiden finally says, a note of eagerness in his voice. All his hesitation seems to have vanished. I can't tell which is the show. Is it the hesitation for me, or the eagerness for Draxon? Maybe both, maybe neither. I can't tell with him. He seems to go back and forth frequently, as though he isn't sure what he wants himself. Is he trying to prove himself to his brother in some way? But why should he need to? Especially if his brother loves him unconditionally, as Raiden claims. Perhaps Raiden can't admit the truth even to himself. I grip the chains on either side, just above the cuffs around my wrists. If I let the full weight of my body pull on my wrists, the metal would bite into my skin, and it would hurt. A lot. It's best to take the weight on my tightened fists. Raiden isn't blinking. Draxon watches the spectacle with interest. The pirates are all eager. They want some sort of show. I'll give them one. Instead of allowing this Lyreman to get me up into the air, I give the rope a good tug before my feet get even close to being off the ground. Lyreman, either not expecting it or unable to stop it, falls from the main mast. A few pirates duck out of the way just before Lyreman hits the deck, cutting off his scream. There's moaning. He's probably broken one or both of his arms, maybe a leg. Hard to say when someone's falling so quickly. Some pirates laugh. Others, who must be his friends, surround him. His moans quickly turn to cursing as a stream of obscenities are directed at me. I don't blame the lad. I would curse too if I were in his position. Draxon descends from the upper deck, getting level with me. He looks at me closely before calling out the names of three more pirates.
Get the lot of you to the mast. I want her off the ground. Now!
They climb quickly, hurrying to follow orders. I wait, bored. If there's a fault with these pirates, it's surely their simple-mindedness. The three men get to the top. They're very careful, wrapping the rope around their wrists several times before tugging me up. I don't bother to try to yank them down. It would involve more theatrics on my part. Not that I'm opposed to theatrics. I just have something better in mind. They stop when I'm 5 feet off the ground. Then they tie off the rope while I hang, clinging to my chains. A spectacle for all the pirates. They stole me. I am a prize to them, clearly strung for all to see. But I am also stronger than they're used to seeing. Draxon gets close enough to see my face clearly.
You killed one of my finest men yesterday. I should let Ulgin have you. But it won't do to have the Pirate King's daughter unidentifiable once we swap you for the ransom. This will have to do.
I ignore him, focus only on the three pirates descending to the ground. I wait for them to mold back into the crowd to ensure they can't beat me to the top. I needn't have worried. Everyone's too stunned to do anything once I start climbing.
Oi, she can't do that,
one pirate exclaims. I don't bother to look down at them. I focus on the movements of my arms. One hand over the other. Relax, pull. Other hand. Relax, pull. The chain length doesn't allow me to gain much rope with each pull, but it's enough. I can still climb. And I do. All the way to the top. I hitch a leg over the rounded wooden beam that rests below the sail. Then I sit, straddling the wood. I'm not even breathing hard. If only I could think of a brilliant plan for getting the chains off. But I've got nothing to work with from up here.
Bring her down, Draxon calls, face red. Not that I can see it clearly, but it's fun to imagine it all red and puffy, fuming with anger.
More and more men start to climb up the mast, but I've no intention of letting any pirate touch me. So I start to climb back down. I stop when I'm halfway down the rope. The pirates hesitate at the top. No one seems to want to climb down and join me. Raiden steps up to Draxon, puts a reassuring hand on my shoulder.
Alotha, Raiden shouts. Come all the way down, or I'll order the rope cut.
I sigh and roll my eyes. Raiden, Raiden. It's sad, really, that they all have to try so hard to make me behave. I do as he says, though. I've no intention of gaining breaks or bruises. I just really don't want to clean the deck. Hanging at the end of the rope, I wait. It's the only trick I have left. It's moments such as these when I'm truly grateful for my father's blasted endurance tests. They made me strong. They made me aware of how much I can handle. And no one has ever been able to outlast me at holding up their own body weight. Minutes pass, and I still hang. Everyone watches, waiting for me to sag from exhaustion, curious to see how long I'll be at this.
Raiden coughs.
Captain, perhaps the men should get back to work while the princess suffers her punishment.
Aye, Draxon says.
You heard the captain. Back to your positions. Get on with it. Who knows? She might still be conscious when you're done.
The men laugh as they scatter to different areas of the ship. The muscles in my arms and stomach start to sting. At least I don't have so much of an audience now. It's mostly Raiden and Draxon. Draxon looks on with satisfaction. And Raiden? Raiden looks... I cannot tell. He just looks. The sun moves in the sky. The wind changes direction. My body begins to tremble. It's hard to breathe. And then... I can't take it any more. I drop myself. The iron pinches at my skin, digs into my bones. It hurts like hell... But I'll not utter a word of complaint. Even if I agreed to clean, the captain would only keep me up here now. He wants me to suffer for what happened to Sheck. I can see it in his eyes. There will be no relief for quite some time. Eventually, Raiden and the captain move on. They have duties to perform as well. I think they're consulting in the captain's quarters now. It's difficult to tell. Turning my head involves too much effort.
Miss Lusa, a voice whispers.
Yes, Enwin? Can I help you with something? He smiles, knowing very well I can't do anything for him in my present condition.
It would take a hurricane to dampen your spirits, lass. I have something for you.
What is it?
The Siren Bracelet. I bought it from Bellor after we woke up from the conch to the head you gave us.
I'm really sorry about that.
You already apologized, miss. Remember? No harm in trying to fight for your freedom. 'Tis a noble cause. I can't fault you. Would have done the same thing. Now, here.
He ties the leather string to my ankle.
That's a bootlace, Enwin.
Maybe so. Maybe not so. Important thing is that you have it anyway.
Why would you give me something you bought for yourself?
I stole some of your hair. Then I had to be your prison guard. Kidnapping and mistreating women is not why I became a pirate. I'm a proper thief and good with a knife. Nothing more. It don't sit right with me what we're doing to your highness. Besides, I'll steal the coins back from Belor tonight.
He steps closer and whispers so softly now that I can barely hear him.
And between you and me, the men were laughing at me something fierce. The only thing that bracelet brought me was mockery.
Then I think its powers were working on me before you tied it on me.
No, no, Miss Elosa. I already thought of that. This token is a bracelet. Bracelets are for women. It'll bring you protection from the sea, but not me.
I laugh softly. Thanks, then, Enwin.
"'Tis a pleasure, miss. Be seeing you around.
Blood starts to slide down my arms. Now my clothes are stained. Every once in a while, I'll start to regain my strength enough to pull the pressure off my wrists for a brief moment. But always I end up back where I am, dangling above a ship full of barbarians. Except for Enwin. Maybe Kieran, too. He hoists a flask up in the air. A question in the gesture. My returning look must be something like, how exactly would I drink that from up here? He shrugs and downs the rum himself. I suppose it is the thought that counts. At one point, I spot Theris through the mass of working pirates. He glances up at me a couple of times. It's not sympathy or worry on his face, but curiosity. Like all the other pirates, he's probably wondering what insane thing I'll do next. All I can wonder is when the pain will go away. The truly agonizing thing is that I could free myself. If I didn't have to hide what I can do, I could get out of this in no time. But I need to stay on this ship longer. I can't give myself away. After a while, it becomes hard to think, hard to see, hard to swallow. Everything goes hazy. People become blurry shapes. I try to look beyond the ship, straining into the distance. Just as there is a destination far beyond this one, there will be a time far beyond this one, when there won't be any pain, just the memory of it. As I try to hold that in my mind, I think I see a black blur on the horizon. A ship. But once I blink, it's gone. It isn't until it's time for everyone to retire to their beds that I am finally released.
"Cut the rope," Draxon commands.
After a day without food or water or solid ground, my whole body is too weak, even my legs. I cannot catch myself, so I fall onto my back.
"Upon your next mistake, Princess, I will have you dangling by your feet. We shall see how long it takes for the blood to make your head explode. Get her out of my sight, Raiden."
"Aye, Captain."
"Try not to have too much fun with her while she's staying in your room. Can't have her in a bad condition when we meet the Pirate King. She'll be safe with me. Off with you, then."
Raiden scoops me up in one smooth movement. Somehow he manages not to make anything hurt more than it already does. He's very gentle with me, holding me close to his chest. I think I'd rather have my head dragged on the ground, but I haven't the power to move. He carries me into his room, shuts the door, and lays me on the bed. An instant later, the manacles are off, and I gasp at the pain their removal causes.
"Shh," Raiden says soothingly. "I know, Elosa. Just a moment. I'll put something on that. Stay here for now."
Where would I go? I can't move. He's drifting around the room, looking for something.
"This would be easier if you hadn't moved and broken everything."
I open my mouth, but I think something similar to a croak rather than words comes out.
"What was that?"
Raiden asks. I cough and try again. I think I remember kicking something under the bed. He sighs before dropping down to his knees.
"Here's something, I think," he says.
The bed dips as he sits on it. He puts his hands under my arms and hauls me up. I hiss through my teeth.
"Sorry, almost there."
I'm sitting in his lap,
my back pressed against his chest. His head cranes around my neck to see my hands, where he puts some sort of salve on them. Oh, I sigh in contentment.
Bet that feels better.
He lets the salve stay on my wrists for a few minutes before applying some more. Then he wraps bandages over my raw, ripped skin. I try to think only about breathing. Not the pain or ache, just breathe. Raiden's done, yet he continues to sit here, holding me. It's quiet for some time.
I'm sorry. I had no idea he'd let you hang for so long.
If I remember correctly, you're the one who suggested hoisting me up there.
It was a means of persuading you to do as the captain wanted. I expected you to agree to the chores before the rope was even hung. You weren't supposed to be stubborn.
You should have known better, I say.
Yes, I should have. I'm truly sorry.
For some reason, his apology frustrates me. Levelly, I say, if you're sorry, that means you want forgiveness. Is that what you're asking for? He's silent. I speak again before he can answer. If you want forgiveness, that means you want to make things right. And if you want to make things right, that means that you don't intend to put me in harm's way again. So if you are saying you're sorry, I don't think you understand what that entails.
I didn't have a choice, he says.
Of course you had a choice, Raiden. You just had a hard one, and you chose the easy option, which was to do nothing.
Easy? Do you think it was easy for me to watch you? Seeing you up there, knowing the pain you must be in, it made me feel... It would have hurt less if I had been the one hanging. I hated myself for what happened, and the only way I could punish myself was to force myself to watch you in pain. That was my punishment.
Raiden starts stroking my hair. I'm tempted to let the conversation drop, to sink farther into his embrace and sleep. But despite how he's taken care of me now, I'm still furious with him. What a nice sentiment, I say. But words only mean something when backed up with actions. Even if all you say is true, you're too cowardly to ever do what you want to do. And it seems to me that until you break away from your brother, you won't be able to do anything at all. The hand at my hair stills.
That's rich coming from you. You're serving a tyrant, a man who basically has control over the entire world. We're pirates, not politicians. Our sort weren't meant to rule.
There needs to be order so we can disrupt it. If there's no order in the first place, then where does that leave us?
The world has changed in recent years, and you've chosen to help it change, not for the better. Our choices are to die out or join the Pirate King. Why do you serve Caligan? So that Papa will love you?
You don't know anything about me or my father. You should stop pretending otherwise. Now let me go. I try to pull away, but he holds me more securely.
No.
Let me go. I don't want you touching me. You disgust me.
Lass, you're too weak to force me. Let me take care of you for now. That's all I can do for you, so let me do it. You may think you have me all figured out, but you don't. I've got my own reasons for wanting Draxon to succeed. We need you. It's for the best. Letting you dangle over the deck never should have happened. I will do what I can to ensure your safety, if you can promise to stop being so damn stubborn.
I don't want to talk to him anymore, so I pretend to be asleep. He huffs quietly.
Might as well tell a fish not to swim.
Chapter 10. For the second time I wake in Raiden's arms. He's still asleep, and I like that I'm allowed to stare at his face for as long as I want. Full lips, straight nose, a scar that recedes into his hairline on the left side of his face. That must have been quite the hit to the head. I wonder if his father did it. Raiden never seems to want to talk about his father. Might be because of how his father treated him, or it might be because Raiden killed him. Maybe both. He stares then. I quickly look down at my wrist so as not to be caught staring. Suddenly, I'm overcome with the urge to rip the bandages off. Raiden's hand shoots out, grasping right below the injury on my right wrist.
Not yet. Keep those bandages on. You need to keep your wounds clean for a while.
It itches something fierce.
I know, and it will only get worse, but you mustn't scratch.
And I suppose you've had to wear manacles before?
Everyone on the ship has.
At the same time, I clarify.
His response is a little unusual, full of bitterness and regret.
Yes.
What happened? Raiden's hand is still on my arm. He's taken to stroking my skin with his fingertips. I don't stop him because it makes the itching subside.
I'll tell you what, Alosa. I'll offer you a story in exchange for a story.
What do you want to know?
Tell me about your scars.
That's many stories.
But I'm sure you can give me something.
I suppose I could. But you first. Raiden thinks for a moment. He props his head up with his free hand, the other still tracing my skin.
Right. I trust you. I'll go first.
He trusts me? What exactly is that supposed to mean? Is he a fool? I've given him no reason to trust me. It's more likely he feels obligated to go first, what with yesterday's events and all. There are many kinds of pirates, but Raiden is the first I've met who feels remorse for his pirating. Perhaps that's why I find him so interesting. He treats me better than any other pirate would a prisoner, I'm sure.
About a year prior,
Raiden starts.
My father, Lord Jeskor, was still in command of this ship. Draxon and I had been living on the Nightfarer practically our whole lives. I'm sure you can relate. Pirate lords need sons to pass their legacy on to. Or, in your case, a daughter. Peculiar, that one. You'll have to explain to me someday how that all started out.
No, I don't, I say. He smiles.
I suppose you don't, but I'd be curious to know.
Your story?
Right. Well, many of us on the ship are the sons of the original crewmen. Others are young thieves and murderers who were picked up along the way. We put together a crew after the ship was ours.
Then how did the ship become yours? Where do the irons come in? He puts a finger to my lips.
Shh, I'm getting to that part. You can be downright impatient sometimes.
I frown under the pressure of his finger. He removes it and sets it on the bed.
My father had become careless. He and his men spent far too much time on land and less time on the sea, pirating. They were lazy, drunk, loud, all the time. We, their sons and fellow crew members, were all but forgotten. So we decided to try to take the ship from them.
I raise a brow in disbelief. Do you expect me to believe your father, a pirate lord, became lazy, and that motivated you all to take the ship?
You know what it's like to be raised by pirates. I've seen your scars. Ours are less visible. They barely fed us. They gave us the more dangerous jobs during our robbing and plundering. We were beaten when they got bored, which was quite regularly. Finally, we'd had enough, and we tried to take the ship.
And you failed?
Yes, we failed. They put us in chains, locked us in the brig, then decided to kill us all one by one for mutiny.
They obviously didn't succeed. Raiden shakes his head.
No, but they came close. My father wanted to start with me. I was a disappointment to him. I hadn't turned out the way he wanted me to. Didn't look enough like him. Didn't talk, walk, drink like him. I think my father chalked it up to the fact that we have different mothers. But whatever the reason, Draxon was always more like him. Do you have any brothers or sisters, Alosa?
I'm sure by now there's near 100 of them. My father has quite the appetite. But I'm the only one he's claimed. If there are others, I do not know of them.
I see. I was raised with Draxon. We did everything together. Played and fought. He was always looking out for me, being my older brother. When my father yelled and hit me, Draxon would come to my defense. He was my protector in our younger years, during the time when he was bigger than I. Then we grew, and I could start looking out for him in return.
Normally, here is where I would throw out some amount of snark. Raiden's story is very sappy. But strangely, I feel the need to be still, to listen.
We have a strong bond. It's the strongest thing I have in my life, and I would never do anything to break it, because my whole life has been built around it. So without it, I don't know what I would be. Nothing good.
I wonder what it would be like to have something like that. Someone who you could trust and call your friend since childhood. I have many good women aboard my crew whom I trust and call friends. But they are all recent finds, within the last 5 years or so. I don't have anything I've held on to since I was little. Except my father, of course.
My father was about to kill me for what he assumed would be my last disappointing act. But then Draxon was there. He'd broken free of the men holding him and come to my rescue. Yet again. That act saved my life. When it most counted, Draxon chose me over our father. I owe him my life and my allegiance. He is the best thing I have, and I would never do anything to hurt or betray him. Draxon then pitched his skill with the sword against our father, but father was an excellent swordsman, drunk and lazy or not. He disarmed Draxon and was about to kill him, but I picked up my brother's fallen sword, and I killed him.
And what happened after that, I ask?
Killing our father had a strange effect on Draxon and me. We felt freer with him gone, stronger. We fought our way to the brig, we released everyone, and we took the ship.
Just like that?
Well, I left out all the fighting bits, but I'm sure you know what a fight looks and sounds like.
And smells and feels and tastes like.
Now tell me about your scars,
Raiden says. A deal's a deal. So I tell him. But I don't want to make him feel sorry for me, so I state everything like it's fact. No feeling, no remorse. I tell him about my endurance tests, my rigorous fighting practices, my regular trials my father gave me. I don't go into too much detail. He just needs a sense of life with my father in order to be satisfied that I didn't lie to him by saying I would share if he did. At the end, Raiden asks,
And are all your father's men trained in the same way?
Well, I'm the only one he's trained personally, but I cut off quickly.
What?
Why do you want to know about their training? Is this another blasted interrogation? I jump out of the bed in an instant, shoving half of Raiden's weight off me in the process. I can't believe you! What the hell is this, Raiden? You show me kindness and then expect me to open up to you, is that it? Raiden shrugs.
You're a woman, and the Pirate King's daughter at that. Something tells me you wouldn't budge under torture. We needed to approach you in a different way.
Damn you, and your blasted crew. Is any of this real? Raiden sits up and regards me seriously.
Is any of what real?
Your story. This. I gesture about the room. All the niceties. Are they just a way to get me to open up? He stands and puts his hands on my shoulders.
Most of it is real, Alosa, even though it shouldn't be.
I shove him back and wince at yesterday's wounds. What's that supposed to mean? You're playing a part? The conflicted first mate? You're a lie.
So are you. Why don't you tell me what you're really doing on this ship?
I'm not doing anything, I scream. Just let me go. I want to go now. It's hard keeping up appearances when I'm so furious. But it needs to be done.
Can't do that. Not unless you want to tell me where your father's hideaway is. Then we'll take you right to him.
I can feel my whole body tense. I'm going to explode if I don't hit something.
Ah,
Raiden says.
I've come to understand that look. I'll leave you alone for a while.
He leaves, right before my foot connects with the door. I try to tell myself that it doesn't matter. What do I care if Raiden's been trying to gather information from me? I already knew he was doing it. I just hadn't expected him to try using a sentimental approach. Nothing's changed. I'm still trying to get the map. And as long as I keep the location of my father's keep a secret, I can continue searching for it. So what if Raiden gets a little clever now and then? He can't touch me. I'm sitting on the edge of Raiden's bed, waiting out the day when the door opens. Was it too much to hope for it wouldn't be Raiden? He grabs my upper arm.
Captain wants to see you.
I try to punch him in the stomach, but he's expecting it. He catches my fist.
Come on, Alosa. Let's see what he wants.
I don't want to see what he wants. Every time I see Draxon, something terrible happens. I want to be left alone. I'm done with you, and I'm done with being on this ship.
Come on.
He drags me toward the door.
Something terrible won't happen.
I give him a look.
Something terrible probably won't happen. Just give Draxon whatever he wants.
How about if I give Draxon what he deserves? He laughs as he drags me the rest of the way. Up the companionway, into Draxon's quarters.
Ah, oh, here she is,
Draxon says. He has a couple of men already in here with him. Kieran and Ulgin. I suppress a shudder.
I think it best that the princess be kept in irons when she's not locked up.
He nods towards Ulgin, who pulls a set of manacles from his belt.
She's still weak from yesterday, Captain,
Raiden says, jerking his head toward my wrists.
I don't think that's necessary. If you say so, Raiden. Alosa, have a seat.
I think I'd rather stand.
I wasn't asking.
Raiden moves me in front of a chair and puts pressure on my shoulders. Reluctantly, I sit. If I don't like what happens next, I can always get back up.
We've received word from your father yesterday.
How's that? I was told no one knew our location.
We've been using Yano birds.
I don't expect to hear that.
Yano birds are used for carrying messages out to sea.
They're very fast and excellent navigators. They're also perfect for silent communication, because the birds don't utter a note of song. But they're extremely rare. My father himself has only 5 of them. How did you come by one, I ask?
I have a crew of men who are very good at getting things done. Your concern should be what happens to you within the next 5 minutes. I want to know where your father's keep is.
He didn't tell you in his letter?
Shocker, that.
Draxon scowls at my tone. I ask, what exactly did his note say?
He's willing to negotiate a ransom. I just have to name an amount and location.
So do it, then. Draxon smiles his evil smile, baring his gold tooth. It's a calculating, malicious grin, matched with cold eyes. So different from the way Raiden smiles when he thinks he has the upper hand on me. Raiden's is victorious, even cocky, sure, but harmless somehow. But Draxon, his is laced with poison.
See now, Draxon says. I have this feeling I would show up and be surrounded by 10 of your father's ships. I think it would be far better to surprise him and negotiate when he is unprepared, don't you?
My father's promise of peace isn't enough to sway you?
Raiden's informed me that you are special to your father. It seems to me that when it comes to you, we can't count on promises. We need something more to work with. I told you what would happen if you continued to be uncooperative with Raiden. I've grown impatient. I need your father's location now.
I'm not giving it to you. Draxon clenches his teeth and jerks his head violently to the side.
I was going to let Ulgin have you if you weren't cooperative, but I find I've got far too much of a desire to handle this interrogation myself.
This is not going to be pleasant. Draxon gets behind me and yanks my head backward by my hair. I grimace at the pain. He strikes the side of my face with a closed fist.
Where is Callaghan's keep, girl?
I don't answer. He hits me again.
Draxon.
It's Raiden.
What?
This doesn't sit right with me.
Then leave. It needs to be done, and you know it.
I receive another blow to the head. My nose starts to bleed. You can't fight back, I tell myself. You can kill Draxon yourself when this is all over. But right now, you can't fight back. It's my father's voice in my head.
Draxon, please.
Raiden tries again.
I said leave, Raiden.
Draxon hits me with his other hand. This one bites more deeply. I think it's his ring hand, where he bears the seal of the Alamos line. It cuts my cheek.
Brother.
Raiden tries again. This time more forcefully. It's the most backbone I've seen from him. Jackson's eyes must be alight with bloodlust, but he halts at that one word. He sighs, as if to clear his head.
Fine, Raiden, if you insist. Are you ready to talk yet, Princess?
I remain silent.
What do you think, Raiden?
Jackson asks, and I don't like the new tone his voice takes.
The Pirate King doesn't need a daughter with hair, does he?
I hear a knife slide out of a sheath. Raiden doesn't protest at this.
Why would he? It doesn't hurt to have one's hair cut.
But he seems not to understand the value a woman's hair has to her. And I've no intention of losing mine.
Stop! Drops of blood spray outward as I speak. The blood from my nose has run into my mouth.
Kieran tilts his head to the side and speaks for the first time.
That's what it took. Her bloody hair.
To interrogate a woman, you have to think like a woman, Draxon says.
Which is strangely effortless for you, I say. Despite Raiden's earlier protests, Draxon hits me again. But I don't care. That one was worth it. The other pirates in the room have the sense not to laugh.
The location, Alotha,
Draxon demands. Lycon's Peak. Do you know it? I ask.
Aye.
Kieran's the one who answers, naturally. Anwyn told me that Kieran was once a traveller, an adventurer. The keep is 2 weeks' sail northeast of there.
Is that possible?
Draxon asks.
Is there anything above that?
Kieran says.
There could easily be a few small islands there.
Draxon releases my hair and stands in front of me.
If you are lying, girl, I will take both your hair and a hand.
Do you truly think you'll be successful sneaking into my father's keep? Once you get there, my father will hang you all.
We'll take our chances. Raiden, take the prisoner back to her quarters. Bring me back a map. Kieran, meet us at the helm to set our course.
A few moments later, I'm back in Raiden's room, holding a towel to my nose, while Raiden digs through the pile of maps in his room. He can't see my huge smile under the towel. It's not just because I've all but destroyed all of his maps. I also didn't have to give away the location of my father's keep. No, the location I gave them is one my father and I discussed before I set out on this mission. My father and many of his men will be waiting there for me to return with the map. We knew Draxon would try to discover where my father's keep is. We had a location already in mind to give him should things turn sour. The only problem now is that I have a deadline for finding that map. I have to have it before we reach my father, or he will not be pleased. Bad things happen when he's not pleased.
Chapter 11
Raiden leaves me alone for several hours that day. Though my face doesn't hurt anymore, I've always been a fast healer. My stomach aches something fierce from the want of food. It's been a day and a half since I've eaten. I try to imagine I'm home at the keep, attending one of Father's grand feasts. He'll have every kind of meat imaginable, from pork to beef to fowl. My mouth waters at the imagined taste of steamed vegetables and sweetened fruits, pies and wine, bread and cheese. If they don't feed me today, I'll have to risk sneaking down to the kitchens tonight. But I needn't have worried. I can smell something hot and delicious from the other side of the door. As soon as Raiden enters, I pluck one of the bowls out of his hand.
Careful, he says. It's still hot.
I don't care. I burn a spot on my tongue as I take a few gulps of the soup. I hardly even taste it as the liquid burns all the way down to my stomach. When my bowl is drained, I grab the other one in Raiden's hand and start on it.
I'm sorry. I hadn't realized how long it had been since you'd eaten. You should have said something.
I don't look his way while I eat. I've enough food in me now to patiently use the spoon and blow on the soup. My teeth eagerly bite into the vegetables and potatoes in the mix. When I finish the second bowl, I drop it to the ground and retreat to the bed. I still feel weaker than usual. It might be midday, but something tells me I could drift off now and sleep all the way until morning. Too many nights with too little sleep. My eyes are closed, but I can hear Raiden moving around the room. What are you doing?
Trying to clean up your mess.
Could you do it more quietly? I'm trying to sleep. I've had a rough couple of days, you know. He snorts, but the rustling sound of cleaning still continues. Good idea, you cleaning the room and all, I say. I'll need something to do tomorrow. There's a loud slam as he throws down whatever he'd been holding. My eyes fly open as Raiden hauls me up by my arms. What are you doing? I demand. You cannot keep touching me as though I'm a small child you can pick up and move whenever you want to.
If you insist on continually acting like a child, then there is no reason why I shouldn't treat you as one.
What on Mineria are you talking about?
My room, he huffs. Look at it. It's filthy. Half of my things are ruined, thanks to your damn drawings. I had to toss you overboard.
You locked me up in here. What did you think would happen? You should toss yourself over for being a complete idiot. And if you wanted me punished, then you should have let the captain continue on with me, instead of asking him to stop.
Are you complaining because I helped you?
I had things under control.
Just yesterday you were making a fuss because I didn't stick up for you.
You can't have it both ways.
So pick one.
What do you care what I want? Why don't you have the balls to do what you want?
Raiden sighs and looks heavenward. Stop doing that.
Doing what?
You're a woman. Act like it. You shouldn't be saying such foul.
I'll say whatever I please. I'm not a lady. I'm a pirate.
Well, you shouldn't be.
Then why is that? I'm plenty good at it.
Because pirates aren't supposed to look like you look, and talk like you talk, and do what you do. You're confusing, and it's messing with my head.
How is that my fault? I'm sure your head was plenty messed up before I came along. I can feel Raiden's breath in my face. He's so close and so angry, I almost want to laugh.
No, it wasn't,
he insists. Then, he's kissing me. What the... I misread where that was going. I wanted to irritate him. To get under his skin. To mess with him because he's working for the enemy. I hadn't exactly expected him to get all mushy as a result. But then again, I can't exactly describe this as mushy. It's pure irritation expressed as physical need. Interesting. I've kissed many men, pirates and land dwellers alike. Normally it happens right before I'm about to steal something from them, or because I'm bored. Right now, I'm not sure I have an excuse. In fact, I'm sure there are several reasons why I shouldn't be kissing him. I just can't think of them at the moment. Perhaps it's because Raiden's lips taste even better than I'd imagined. Or because his hands make my skin tingle where they hold the sides of my face. Maybe it's the thrill of doing something my father wouldn't approve of. I mean, he's not exactly the overprotective type. He couldn't care less about my dalliances. But he would most definitely be upset if he knew I was kissing the enemy. Especially when I've nothing to gain from it. No, wait, that's not true. It could definitely benefit me. To have the first mate wrapped around my finger. When Raiden's lips move down to my neck, I forget all about my father. There's nothing except heat and chills all at once. He reaches the hollow at the base of my neck, and I let out a soft moan. He returns to my lips with a new intensity. The burn spot on my tongue tingles when he traces it with his own. I rip out the band that holds together his hair and run my fingers through it. The moment is perfect. But the thought hits me like a hammer. This shouldn't be perfect. In fact, it isn't. I've gone too long without proper sleep and food. It's making me act like a silly tavern wench. I can't do this. I have thieving to do. It is with great effort, not the physical kind, that I push Raiden away. His chest is heaving up and down. I'm sure mine is too. That's enough of that, I say.
You're bleeding again,
Raiden says, touching a spot on my cheek. I hadn't felt the cut reopen. Probably your fault.
As I'm sure you believe most things are.
Of course. He smiles and starts to lean down again, and I'm so very tempted to let him close the distance. Wouldn't be so hard if he wasn't so good at this. Instead, I say, I said that's enough. He steps away from me quickly, as though he doesn't trust himself to be near me.
I have duties to perform, he says, turning around.
I'm sure. I wish I didn't have to wait until nightfall to continue searching the ship. All I have to do when I'm left alone is think. And thinking is the last thing I want to do right now. I'd rather be punching something. Anwin comes in later to bring me another meal. I smile once he retreats. Raiden is a coward. He doesn't want to face me right now. Perhaps that kiss was a good idea. It'll certainly be worth watching him squirm later. I get in a quick nap, so I'll be ready by nightfall. It was tempting to go right back to sleep once I awoke, but I have no time to waste now that Draxon and his crew are heading for my father. It's late when Raiden enters the room again. He looks surprised to see me.
Oh, I thought you'd be asleep.
You mean you were hoping, I say with a smile.
Then miss out on whatever snappy comment you have ready for me. Not a chance.
I don't have a snappy comment prepared.
That's a shame. I was rather hoping for a repeat of what happened after the last one.
I'm sure. Unfortunately for you, I'm a bit tired.
Then why aren't you asleep?
I was getting there.
Looks more like you were waiting for me.
Oh, please. Maybe I should knock him out for the night. I can't do that, though. He'd remember in the morning. I'd be all out of explanations if I knocked him out but stayed on the ship. I can't leave until I have that blasted, ever-elusive map. Just go to sleep, Raiden. Here. I get off the bed and sit in the chair instead.
You're going to sleep there?
Yes.
Why?
Because I want to, all right? What's with all the questions?
I'm your interrogator, remember?
Right now you're off duty, so go to sleep.
Why do you so desperately want me to drift off? Hoping to climb in bed after I'm out?
Actually, I want the silence that comes after. Raiden looks about the room.
You know, it's really difficult for me to sleep, knowing how filthy my room is. Maybe I'll stay up until you conk out.
I don't have time for this, and I can't risk pretending to fall asleep until he does. I might actually drift off, and that would be a whole night wasted. I'm irritated. And perhaps if I weren't so irritated, I wouldn't have jumped so quickly to the solution. But I'm impatient after sitting around all day. I had my face pummeled, I'm still cranky for the want of sleep, and honestly, I'm still hungry. So I begin to sing. The melody is deep and soothing. I can feel my whole body humming with energy as it drifts out of me. I can feel every place in the room. The way the sound bounces off the wood, seeps into the blankets, enters Raiden's ears. He steps closer, trying to hear the tune better. I indulge him by removing the distance for him. I take his hand and lead him to the bed. He follows, captured by my spell. I know what Raiden wants in life. Love and acceptance. I weave those into the song and command him to sleep and forget that he ever heard me sing. He has no choice but to obey. Chapter 12. I feel the expected longing of the ocean. I always feel it after I use my song. My chest aches. It burns, yearning to go under the water where it can be soothed and nourished. I don't need the strength of the ocean to survive, though, only to replenish my song. To strengthen the part of me that I try to keep hidden. But replenishing my abilities has its own consequence. The other part of me tries to take over, something I can't risk until after I've completed my mission. I am mostly human. But when I allow myself to use the gifts my mother gave me, I become something else, and it kills me a little inside each time I have to fight it back off. I slip back into Raiden's room right before the sun starts to rise. I've got to put the key to the door back into his pocket. But Raiden groans as he sits up in bed. I quickly move away from the door and jump into the chair at his desk.
What happened?
He asks, putting his hand to his head. Do you have a headache? I ask. You were groaning something fierce in your sleep.
No, it doesn't hurt. It feels...
I've sung to many men in the past. Those whom I've allowed to keep their memory of the experience have tried to explain to me what it feels like. I've heard it's euphoric, that it's pleasure and happiness all rolled into one. When I make them sleep, they dream about me all during the night. While I was growing up, there weren't many men who let me practice my songs on them. But I practiced anyway. It wasn't as though my mother was around to teach me. Father was eventually able to keep my abilities known to only a select group. He didn't want his rivals to know just how powerful I am. The fighting skills he taught me alone make me dangerous, and being half siren, well, that makes me deadly. It feels what? I ask.
Nothing, he says quickly.
He's retreated into his mind, searching through memories or dreams. Waking is usually disorienting for my victims. While it's amusing to watch him fumbling with his thoughts, I need to get this key back on Raiden before he notices it's gone. Did you sleep well? I ask. Good dreams? I know he dreamed about me, but that doesn't mean I know what I was doing in his dream. Of course, I don't expect Raiden to be honest. He looks dazed for a moment more. Then he seems to compose himself.
Yes. What happened yesterday? I can't...
I look at him sternly. Were you drinking? He sits up, puts his bare feet on the floor.
I don't drink that often. Never enough to get drunk. Especially not when I'm watching you.
But you don't remember our night together? I'm thinking fast here. I need to get rid of this key. I have to find an excuse to get close to him.
Our night together?
Raiden looks beyond confused. I move to sit on his lap, making myself comfortable as I wrap my arms around his neck. Raiden freezes in place. You really don't remember? I whisper seductively into his ear. My hands are at his shoulders. I move one down his chest. He's solid as a rock, but his skin is smooth and warm. When I reach his waist, I drop the key into the pocket of his breeches. It's really just thieving, only backward. Raiden exhales and puts his hands on my hips.
Why don't you remind me?
I slide my hands down his arms until I can entwine our fingers. There was some of this?
Mm-hmm.
And this? I press my lips to his and kiss him gently. He returns in kind.
Then what happened?
He whispers when I break away and trace my lips along the edge of his ear. Then? I pause and lean farther into him. You promised to help me get off the ship. He leans me back as if to lay me on the bed. Then he drops me. I hit the sheets with a soft plump.
I think I would remember that, he says, shoving my legs onto the bed as well.
Don't worry, I say. I'm sure everything will come back to you soon enough.
In the meantime, Draxon will be expecting me.
He walks over to the closet and rummages through the clothes I've left in heaps on the floor, grunting in displeasure as he searches. Once he finds what he's looking for, a pair of breeches, he starts sliding off the pair he has on, watching my reaction as he does so. Stop that, I say, turning around quickly. He laughs softly. I should have kept calm, and I shouldn't have turned around. If I had simply shrugged as though it didn't bother me at all, Raiden wouldn't have been so amused. He would have taken his clothes elsewhere, I'm sure of it. But it all started so suddenly that I was unprepared with a response. There's nothing to do about it now.
When you're confined to this room, he says, how do you expect me to be able to change into clean clothes?
Go get dressed in Draxon's room, I snap.
Where's the fun in that?
I exhale angrily as I wait for him to finish. I listen to the rustling of cloth, the cinching of a belt, the thud of newly adorned boots smacking the floor, and I wait for it all to stop. I'm listening so hard that I don't even register that the boots are moving toward me until I feel a hand at my lower back. His lips are at my ear.
It's safe to look now, Alosa.
He brushes his lips across the side of my head before leaving. I don't realize how tense I am until my whole body relaxes. I suppose I should be bored out of my mind during the next few days, but I'm not. Raiden comes into his room often to check on me. We talk until he tries to morph the conversation into an interrogation. He wants to know things, like the layout of my father's keep, how often supply ships deliver shipments, how many men guard the keep, and so on and so forth. I tell him none of these things. I will die before I give that information up. Well, actually, they'd die, since I wouldn't allow them to kill me. I've noticed that Raiden's been keeping me at a distance. Still, he can't help it when I bait him during the conversation. It's fun watching him struggle, trying to find a balance with me. Toying with Raiden is certainly more entertaining than scouring the ship. I become a little more anxious each night that goes by without the map turning up. I check our heading frequently, gauging how much time is left before I have to present the map to my father. We pass Lycon's Peak and start sailing northeast. It won't be long now. I wake early, even though I made it to bed late. I'm too worried to sleep anymore, so I stare at the ceiling, thinking it all over in my head. I go over every spot I checked, searching for anything that may have been overlooked. My 2 weeks are almost up. The checkpoint could show up on the horizon at any moment.
You're up early,
Raiden says from where he lies next to me. Couldn't sleep, I say.
Are you worried about something?
Actually, it was your snoring that kept me awake.
He smiles. I do not snore.
My ears beg to differ. He rolls onto his back, staring upward with me.
Tell me what's worrying you.
Aside from the fact that I'm being held hostage by enemy pirates?
Yes, he says simply. Aside from that.
Well, I can't very well tell him that either Draxon or his father hid a map somewhere and I can't find it. Instead, I ask him, what's the most reckless thing you've ever done to try to impress your father? He's quiet. Does it pain you to talk about him? I ask. He shakes his head.
No, that's not it. I try not to think about him because I hated him so much.
I understand. I wait to see if he'll still answer my question. He sighs.
It's difficult to say. I did many reckless things.
Tell me one of them.
All right,
he says pensively.
Once, when we were sailing far out at sea, we pillaged a ship before burning it down. My father dropped a chest of jewels into the ocean while trying to haul it over to the ship. I dove in after it.
I think perhaps we should go over the meaning of reckless.
There were Akora eels in the water, finishing off sailors that survived the initial attack on their ship.
I turn my head in his direction. Now that was reckless. Akora eels are more feared than sharks. They're faster and more sensitive to human blood. In some cases, they're even bigger and toothier. Most of the time, they stay near the ocean floor, but if they sense a disturbance at the surface, they'll come to investigate. Were you able to get the chest back for him? I ask.
No, an eel headed for me. Draxon saw it and lowered me a rope. He hoisted me out of the water just in time.
What did your father do?
He tried to toss me back over to get the chest, but Draxon was able to talk him out of it.
Sounds to me that if you hadn't killed him, someone else would have eventually. He sounds awful.
He was.
Raiden turns to look at me.
I'm guessing that question wasn't random. Are you doing something reckless to impress your own father?
I do reckless things for the fun of it.
I have no trouble believing that.
Do you feel like you knew your father well? He shrugs.
Well enough. Why?
I have to be careful. I need to make the conversation seem harmless. He needs to think it's all about me. My father trusts me more than he does anyone else in the world, yet I can't help but feel like he keeps secrets from me.
Everybody has their secrets. We would all feel too exposed if we weren't able to keep things to ourselves.
No, I can't ask Raiden about his own secrets. I need to keep the conversation focused. But this feels different. Couldn't you tell when your father was keeping things from you? big things?
Yes, usually.
My father had a hiding place on his ship, a loose floorboard in his rooms. He would keep important things there. When I felt